Welcome to Access Astrology. My name is Alison Price. I'm here with my good friend Arwen O'Neill, and we're coming to you from Vancouver, Canada. This period, our podcast will be from March the 9th to the 23rd, and we've got some good things lined up for you this time.
Yeah, this is our Aries episode. Woohoo! We're starting over the zodiac from the beginning.
Sounds good.
Exciting. Yeah.
We're going to have a couple of book reviews, and we're going to talk about some ingresses and moon phases, and we have some very exciting events to tell you about this time.
Yep, indeed. So we're going to start with the ingresses and transits for the coming 2 weeks, and starting out on March 9th, which is a Sunday, and it is the Daylight Savings Time Sunday. So everybody mark your calendars for that, unless it happens automatically, which it does with all my clocks except for my alarm clock.
Really?
Yeah, all for the alarm clock. That's the one I have to change manually. Anyway, so Monday the 10th is our first aspect, which is Mercury square Saturn. And the keywords I've got written down for that one are focus on details and tasks, efficiency, critical and nitpicky thinking. So it'll be a good time if you have to do, taxes or anything awful like that, anything study oriented or work oriented. People might be looking over your shoulder though, and it could be an annoying day in that sense.
Yes,
but you will probably do well with those tasks, generally speaking.
Sounds good.
And then we have the 13th, the Thursday, we've got Sun trine Saturn, which is a slightly more upbeat aspect with Saturn. And that is ambition, patience, conceit, stability, rigidity, and convention. Those things will be highlighted or promoted under that aspect.
Okay, so that's two for Saturn already in 1 week.
Exactly, yes. Mm. Saturn is going to be making the rounds.
Yes.
And also, let's see. Yes, okay, so the next day we've got Mercury trine Mars, another active sort of upbeat transit or aspect rather.
Yes.
And Mercury trine Mars. Mentally sharp, brave, challenging, fighting words and ideas. So if you have to fight with your words, this will be a good time to do it. Or a time to avoid doing that if you don't wish to.
Don't wish to run your mouth off even.
Yeah, something like that. Yes, and that's a Friday. So Friday the 14th. Then we have Monday the 17th of March. Mercury is going to go into Pisces.
For the second time.
Yes, exactly. It will be still in its... Well, yes. It'll be coming back from being retrograde. It's what's happening there. And it dipped back into Aquarius for a while, and now it'll be entering Pisces again.
Okay.
So our keywords once more for that are be creative, compassionate, open, free your mind. All those things.
Go with the flow.
Yeah, exactly. And then the very next day, on the Tuesday, we have Venus sextile Uranus, which is an exciting sort of sparks flying sort of aspect. Sudden attractions, good surprises, romance, and sparks, potentially.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. And let's see, on the 20th of March, we have the Sun moving into Aries. That's the big one.
That's the big
Yay.
One.
Yay!
That's the news for this period,
yes,
isn't it? The real transit news.
That's the transit news. And the Sun entering Aries, Sun in Aries is bold, active, outspoken, quick-tempered, and courageous. And some of the, we'll be talking some more about Aries later in our Astrology 360 topic. And our last transit of this period on the 22nd is Mercury conjunct Neptune. And that is imaginative, intuitive, non-linear, and collaborative.
Mm.
Possibly a little fuzzy, maybe
veering
towards delusion or dishonesty and possibly manipulation at the bad side. But usually we'll try to focus on the good side, imaginative and poetic and dreamy and all those things. Yeah.
So it's a bit of a busy week, really.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know?
Definitely.
Nothing's changing direction, but we've got a couple of changes of sign and quite a few aspects coming up.
Mercury's zipping around and touching everything.
Yes, yes.
Yeah. So what's the moon doing?
Yes, the moon, once more, is moving through. Well, we had the first quarter just the day before this podcast started on the 8th, so we're moving into the light, coming up towards the gibbous phase on the Wednesday the 12th. That will really be, the moon is really going to be big in the sky at that point. And then we'll be coming up to our full moon on the 16th.
Excellent.
So this will be a full moon in Virgo. Ah. And I caught the actual, I like to take a photo of the full moon because my window faces that way, yeah, where it's rising at night, and I don't want to post it on my social media.
But can anyway, you ever get a decent picture of the moon? I can't.
Well, I just take the picture, I zoom in, and yes, there's fingerprints on the window, but I still post it because it's the best I can do. Yeah. I would love to be a better photographer. And it's great. You get the full moon coming up in Virgo because the sun is still in Pisces at that stage, so it's really at the tail end. So that's the Virgo full moon for the year.
Mm-hmm.
So lots of light at that stage.
Yeah.
And then on the 20th, we've got the last quarter. So mainly for this period, we're talking about the moon's going to be bright in the sky. We're going to see it. You're going to be aware of it. And I don't know if you see the full moon, if you get up
yeah.
early. Yeah. Setting from this side.
Yeah. I see it sometimes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's really, you know, what the moon's going to be doing. It's no great excitement. It's full moon in Virgo.
Yeah.
Let me check that.
What's that good for doing? I don't know.
Yeah,
they say it's good for gardening, but probably not in the middle of winter.
26 degrees Virgo. So if you've got anything at 26 Virgo, the full moon will be on it. It'll be shining a bit of light on there.
Hmm.
You might get a bit emotional about your stuff there.
Uh-oh.
And you say good for gardening?
I don't know. When the moon is in Virgo. Yeah, that's what I've heard. Just the moon, not the full moon.
I know when the moon is increasing in light is when you should be planting seeds and what have you. And when the moon is decreasing, that's when you should be culling, harvesting and digging stuff out.
Okay. What about hair? What about getting things done to your hair?
Yes, again, if you want your hair to grow, you cut it when the moon's waxing. And if you want your hair to not grow, you cut it when the moon is waning.
Hmm. And what about chemical treatments? This is a personal question now.
Yes. Me too. I don't know. I would imagine you've got a better chance at the full moon. It would depend how Mars would be connecting with you because that's to do with your head and your hair.
Yeah.
But full moon in Virgo, you're going to have to be very particular and probably read the instructions.
Yeah. Or be careful about who I go to. All right. Cool. Good. Fair enough. probably do it the week before anyway, actually, now that I think about it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But why would that be?
Well,
do tell.
I do have an event. This is the event we were hinting at a bit earlier on the 13th. For anyone in the Vancouver area or for anyone, friends of mine that are listening in other provinces or states who want to fly in, I will be doing a presentation at the Fraser Valley Astrology Guild on the 13th, the evening of the 13th, starting at 7 p.m. Actually, it starts at 7 p.m., but there's a dinner beforehand at 5.
Yes.
So if you wanted to join us for dinner, it's at Stefano's Greek Restaurant, and that is
in Columbia Street.
Columbia Street, New Westminster. So it's outside of Vancouver. It's actually, the presentation will be taking place at 317 Columbia Street, and that's Suite 201. So it's just up the stairs.
Yes.
And there we are. But I will be doing a presentation on generational astrology called Dynamic Transits and the Generations. So that
sounds interesting.
Yeah.
So generational astrology?
Yeah. It follows the movements of the outer planets, Uranus, Neptune, and Pluto, and how they define what we know as generations.
So you'll be there in person?
I will be. I will be there in person. I will be there in PowerPoint. Yep.
Yeah, totally. So everyone's welcome to join us. For dinner?
Absolutely. Dinner at 5 and presentation at 7. And I'll have some little handouts to follow along if they want to, and lots of slides. And
so people can come along and meet you and get to know the face behind the microphone.
Exactly. Yeah.
It sounds wonderful. I'm looking forward to it because I'll be there, of course, supporting you. And it should be a lot of fun.
Thanks. I think so. It should be fun, definitely. Mm. I've got a little bit of an interview as well up on the Fraser Valley Astrology Guild website.
Uh-huh.
So if anyone wants to check that out, it's...
So this is a recent interview?
It is. Just in preparation for the presentation, they asked me to do a little online chat, and that's up now. So, yeah.
So you were interviewed by the president, Joan?
Yes. She's delightful and had some very insightful questions, and it was a lot of fun.
Go to our site and we'll put the links up for you.
Sure, absolutely.
You can read Arwen's interview and find out all the information and come and meet Arwen. Please do.
That would be great.
We'll be tweeting about it beforehand, and hopefully the Vancouver retweeter will pick it up for us as well.
Yes. Whatever that means.
Oh, okay. Well, if you put a tweet out and you go #Vancouver, Vancouver retweeter, who is like God, will automatically retweet tweets that focus on Vancouver. And because this is a local area, that's who you really want to reach.
Right. Absolutely. I'm the Luddite among us here.
No, not at all. I know enough
to be dangerous. Always had to explain these things to me.
I know enough to be dangerous.
See, on this thing called the internet.
Yes. So that's very exciting. Yes. So again, that's March the 13th, 7 mm-hmm. o'clock at night.
In
near the Columbia SkyTrain station. Yeah. Come and hear Arwen talk. She's fantastic. You'd be great to meet her.
Indeed.
Good.
All right. Well, we have a 360 topic of the day is Aries. And that is a fire sign. It's a masculine cardinal fire sign. Is the, actually, masculine fire cardinal fire sign. There's only one. It's ruled by Mars, and its symbol is the ram, which is appropriate. One of the very first Aries people that I knew was when I was in sixth grade. This boy that, not just me, but everyone kind of had a crush on him. He was a very, just popular and, fiery kind of boy. But he used to ram his head against lockers. And this is a thing that, 11-year-old boys do, I guess. And, it stuck in my head because I thought, oh my God, Aries.
Because the Aries has to do with the head.
Yeah. Yep. And it symbol is a ram. And wow. That's what rams do. They crash into each other's heads with their horns. It's quite remarkable to watch. If you are a nature show aficionado.
It's coming out like this. So all of you Aries out there. Yeah. Yep. We're talking about you.
Ram. Yeah.
So Aries is the first sign of the zodiac.
It is, yes.
And that's because the sun is crossing the celestial equator at the vernal equinox, moving north 0 degrees of the tropical zodiac. This is the one that astrologers use.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yes.
And every degree then is 30 degrees round. There's 12 of them, and we come back. But this is the point where the zodiac begins.
The Aries point.
The Aries point. It's a new beginning for the zodiac.
Exactly. And one of the things that's interesting, too, at the Aries point, and not to get totally off on a tangent about this, but I just remember it's quite exciting, actually. If you're interested in mundane astrology or political astrology or, astrology of events at all, the Aries point is a big deal, kind of, in those circles. It's where the public and private worlds kind of collide. And if you'll notice in all kinds of charts of really significant events that involve, political intrigue, there's a lot of times you'll find the zero-degree Aries, signature there in those charts, which is really interesting phenomenon. So we have some interesting people to talk about, interesting Aryan types. And I'm going to start saying Aryan, even though I kind of recoil every time I say it. It sounds so weird. It sounds like I'm, Aryan. But anyways, these types of people, we have two different distinctions, one with the sun and the moon, both in Aries, and then another group with the sun and ascendant.
Okay. So
these
organized.
Are a little different flavors. Yeah. So the people with the sun and moon in Aries, my examples are Marlon Brando. And I think that's,
the Godfather.
Really good example. Celine Dion, which is an interesting one. Lucy Lawless, who, if anyone remembers the old Xena Warrior Princess television show, she was Xena. And she actually has sun, moon, and ascendant all in Aries.
And listen, that is interesting.
Yeah, warrior princess.
Because now that's Eris, right?
Yeah.
Which is the female warrior, the female side of Mars.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Okay, we'll get into that.
Exactly, it's fascinating. And Anthony Perkins from Psycho. Other things as well, great actor. He's been in a lot of things, but that's what we remember him from probably a lot. And the sun and ascendant in Aries, or rising sign, Heath Ledger.
Okay.
Jennifer Garner from Alias, and also, what was that other, Catwoman, maybe?
I don't know.
An action heroine, basically. Yes. I mean, she's been in so many, and also, romantic comedies, but a lot of movies and television, that great show, Alias, well, it was great to begin with, and then it kind of went downhill after the halfway through the second season. Anyways, it was a great show when it started. But, it's a very classic sort of Aries, figure. She kicked and punched and shot people.
Yes, fighting spirit, isn't
it? Yeah, totally. Very, very cardinal. And we have Bach, the composer, and Alec Guinness, the wonderful British actor. He is British, right?
Mm-hmm.
Excellent.
Well, you would split a hair there. You would generally call him English rather than British, because there's a different connotation.
English, yes. Excellent.
Shoot me now.
That wouldn't be very British of me.
No, but that would be very Aryan.
So do we want to get into the thing with Eris and Cena and that whole thing?
Well, you know, let's go back a couple of steps. Aries is the sign. It's ruled by Mars, right?
Aries, yeah.
Yeah, so, and now Eris, this is this new planet.
E-R-I-S.
E-R-I-S. This is, I'm calling it a new planet. It's been there all along, but we only saw it, what, 2007?
2005. Well, 2005. Yeah.
And Eris is outside the orbit of Pluto, and it's big enough to be seen now.
Yeah.
And Eris was actually originally named...
Xena. That was the sort of provisional name before the...
Female warrior. Yeah. So now it's ended up with Eris, but the meaning of the actual planet comes from the naming of it.
Right.
And therefore, Eris in astrology is the female warrior.
Yeah. And actually, in the Greek myths, she was the one who rolled the apple that said, for the fairest, into the room with Aphrodite, Hera, and... Athena, and started this whole battle between the three major goddesses.
Now, I understand Eris is actually Mars's sister.
Mm.
I could be corrected on that. So they're both, Mars is the male warrior, if you would, and Eris is the female warrior. And this woman, her name?
Warrior Princess Lucy Lawless.
Yes.
Yeah.
So she actually played the role.
Yeah.
Of this part as well.
Exactly.
Because Aries is because it's cardinal, it's quite strong, it's quite leadership, it's quite strong-willed. Yeah. Won't be walked over.
Alexander the Great was an Aries, very famously.
They go out and they conquer things, they start things.
Yeah. Firefighters. So many firefighters are. This is one of those things that just happens to pop up that people have noticed.
Jobs for Aries is it's a good one, isn't it? And they're confident, strong-willed.
Bold and just kind of charge in there. And I had a friend who had a couple of Aries boyfriends in her past, and she said what she liked about them most was that when she would start freaking out and getting stressed out and just kind of losing her mind, they would just hug her and put their arms around her until she just kind of stopped flailing around and crying and was just like, you know.
Okay.
And she said that this is, you know, instead of trying to argue with her or reason with her, which is, I guess, what I made the mistake of trying to do as a friend, it's just, you know, it's a Virgo Maya, you know, well, how can I fix it? No. Yeah, that was what she liked about the Aries boyfriends, was they would just,
take
stand there as a big, strong, you know, arms around, and just silently.
Confident.
Yeah.
And the women as well. The women are confident. They are. Oh, they know what they want.
Joan Crawford and Betty Davis, both Aries. Yeah.
And of course, with Aries being a fire sign, it's there's nothing going to stop it. It's inspirational as well.
Yeah.
So with the sun moving into Aries now, that's going to show where the sun will be in everybody's chart as the sun moves around the chart as well.
Right.
Anyway.
Yeah. It sort of highlights the whatever house it moves into.
Mm.
Yeah. So we have the people that we've actually gotten their charts, and these are people who on AstroTheme actually were very high percentage of Aries. So these are, you know, among the top most Aries people ever kind of thing. The first one is Gustav, and I'm going to pronounce this wrong, I'm sure, but any Norwegians out there can correct me, please. accessastrology@gmail.com. Gustav Vigeland? Vigeland? I'm going to say Vigeland.
Uh-huh, I'm with you.
I'm just going to call him Gustav.
Gustav,
I'm pretty confident
yes.
about that. April 11th, 1869, and he is 68% Aries, which is astounding.
Yes.
Sun, Moon, Mercury, Venus, Jupiter, and Ascendant all... Well, Ascendant is sort of up for grabs because it's a noon chart, but yeah. No, it's not. Whatever. It's it's a guess because we don't know what time he was born. But anyways, all those other planets are a massive amount of a pileup, really, in Aries. And he was a sculptor, a Norwegian sculptor. He's actually the most famous of Norway's sculptors. There's an entire park named after him, and it is an amazing architectural marvel. He actually designed the whole layout of the park, and it was completed between 1939 and 1949. Mm. But all of the sculpture was, you know, it was started way before that. He actually designed all of them in clay and then had, you know, actual craftsmen to do the rest of the actual chiseling away of the whatever it is. Some of them are marble, some are bronze, some of them are some other things.
What is their topic?
They are, they're all human figures, and it sort of goes through every theme of human life, basically. He has pictures, or not pictures, sculptures, of of families, of men and women together, of old men and women, of people fighting, of men and women embracing, of children crying. And it's just the whole cycle of life, basically. It's love and death. And, you know, he's also got dragons, which is an interesting theme. Mm-hmm. You know, and he thought of dragons as the symbol of sin and the force of nature, and against which man must always be in battle.
Because I understand dragons do come under Aries as well because of that fire-breathing business.
Yeah, big time. Totally. Yeah. So
and Aries use tools, don't they?
Yeah, and it concrete and, you know, all these, like, hard surfaces and the, I mean, I've actually got a selection of his sculptures on our website, on accessastrology.com, in our show notes, because I think that they are just a fantastic example of just, you know, just the Aryan spirit of...
Beautiful.
They're simple, but yet they're...
The outdoors?
Yeah, it's all... Exactly. It's in this beautiful outdoor park, and you go through this whole progression, and you reach this monolith, which is, like, just a massive... It sounds terrible the way I'm saying it, but pile of bodies in a giant sort of cylindrical, apparently many, many, you know, dozens of meters high thing. And it is massive and very imposing. And then you get past it and you're kind of like, you know, emotionally exhausted. And then there's this ring of maybe four bodies, I think, in this huge ring. And they're over life size. They're giant. And then it's sort of, that's the, you know, the sort of culmination of it all, I guess. And it's beautiful. There's virtual tours online. You can. I do link to them on our website as well. But definitely, just a fascinating example. And it's kind of the side of Aries you don't hear about as much.
Yes,
I mean, there's definitely creativity and you know, an emotional sort of force behind the brute force, so to speak. I mean, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So there's that. And our second one is Christopher Hitchens. The famous journalist, contrarian, and there's a good Aries word, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Contrarian. he was one of the four horsemen of the New Atheism, along with Richard Dawkins and whatnot, uh-huh. Sam Harris, etc. But before that, he was a journalist, and he's just very, very well known for his confrontational style of debate, his critiques of pretty much everyone but Henry Kissinger, the Clintons, Mother Teresa even. and then he sort of settled on, you know, God as his ultimate, you know, force to be argued against. In his later life, he did pass away in 2011 from throat cancer, unfortunately. But he was very well known as just a very argumentative.
He's the one who had quite a lot to say about astrology as
well.
Oh,
yeah, yeah, yeah. So okay. He would hate that we're talking about him now, but
yeah,
he has nothing to say about it now. So we can talk about him all we like. But he's got Sun... Mercury, Venus, Mars, and the North Node all in Aries.
Yeah. 55%. It's very much a pioneering spirit, isn't it, Aries?
Yeah, definitely. And he liked to smoke, he liked to drink all throughout his life, and you uh-huh. know, very just a big belligerent, barrel-chested kind of, you know. He volunteered to be waterboarded for the Vanity Fair to you know, he thought he was going to be, you know, proving that it wasn't a big deal. And he ended up coming out on the complete other side of his original argument and saying, oh, no, this is barbaric and horrible. We shouldn't be doing this, which kind of got, you know, him in trouble with some of his right-wing friends that he had started to sort of drift towards that side after mm-hmm. 9/11 mm-hmm. And you know, picked fights with left-wing philosophers and journalists. And then he kind of came around sort of towards the middle slash, you know, radical on both ends towards the end of his life, which is an interesting place for an Aries to end up. And his last essay collection is called Mortality, and it's this giant black book with the word mortality in white letters across it, and that came out after he died. So, very interesting Aries. That's our 360.
Yeah.
And we'll have the charts up and links to those bios as well on our site.
Interesting. So, where's Aries in your chart?
Sixth house. Ooh. I don't have any planets. No, I have Chiron. So.
Okay, so the Sun's in your fifth at the moment, and he's going to cross into your sixth, and you're just going to be working, working, working.
Yep. Pretty much. What about you? Where's
I'm in heaven.
Oh, wow.
Yes. So, oh, my God, we're going to get any better. So at this time of the year, you know, Aries is a good time of the year to start things, right? You don't really want to be starting things at the end of Pisces. I mean, wait another week. Wait for the vernal, you know, equinox and start stuff. And I've actually got a couple of people in Toronto who are launching their businesses, and I've told them, wait until the, if you've got a chance to do it in Aries rather than Pisces, do so. And they're going to be doing that. But it's a time to start things and cut a swathe through that confusion that may have come over you during the time the sun was in Pisces, where we're not really quite sure, should we do this or should we do that, or are we doing the right thing, blah, blah. When the sun's well there, because it's in exaltation, it works well.
Right. Yeah, that's good.
So as it crosses my midheaven, I'll just get more of what it is already. And, yeah.
Well, that's good. I've historically had it's sort of been a low point in my year in the past, just personally. Mm-hmm. So I've always wondered, what was the deal with that? How should I approach the coming of April?
So it's not with dread. What degree is your sixth house cusp then? Is it early Aries or late Aries, or sort of down about the middle?
That's a fabulous question. Yeah. I know that my fourth house cusp is 12:30.
Okay, well,
Aquarius, so it's probably, yeah.
So if it's sort of early on, then the sun will go into the sixth house, and it's going to be work. It really is. It's going to be daily rituals, daily things. Repetitive.
Yeah. Just basically don't hope for no disasters is what I should do.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Busy with your day, really. It's that kind of thing success has got to be.
Put your head down and just try to barrel through it. Like an Aries. Yeah. All right.
Because the Aries rules the head. Maybe mm-hmm.
Yes, totally it does. Yeah, exactly. Just picture the rams fighting each other.
Mm.
Yeah.
And yeah, so there you go.
Yeah. We don't recommend that sixth graders do that, by the way.
No. So whichever house the sun is going to, Aries is on the cusp of, the sun will be coming through this period and stimulating it and putting the spotlight on that area of your life. And you might as well work with it rather than against it.
Indeed. Yes, exactly.
So if you're going to take on a new job, extra some things at work.
Yeah, probably.
Additional whatnots. It's,
okay. Good to know. Well, we have a couple of book reviews.
We
and
do.
I see that the book that you have is self-published, which is amazing and wonderful. And people can buy this on your website.
This is the book I'm actually going to review. It's an ebook I put out. Mm-hmm. I first put it out in 2012 on Smashwords.
I love that site.
You do?
I think so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So there it is on Smashwords. You can go there and you can buy it in, you can buy it in EPUB and eNook and on your Apple and on your this. You've got to select, you pick which device you're going to watch, read it on, and you just download it from there. I'll put the link on our site to do that. And then recently, towards the end of last year, I actually created it as a PDF ebook, because a lot of people were coming to me wanting PDF ebooks, which never occurred to me to start with, because the difference is that if you get an ebook from Smashwords and you can increase the font so you can read it on your iPad, it just puts less words on a page, so it adjusts to your device. Whereas a PDF comes with, this page has got that on it, and that's the end of it.
Also, if you have it as a PDF and you have an audio, like a text-to-speech reader, you can use it with PDFs, but not with the others.
I did not know that.
Yeah, so if anyone if their eyes are failing, or if they're just lazy, or they, just like to have things read out loud to them instead of reading things on screen.
So I created this in a PDF edition, and it sounds like nothing, but it took like months out of my life to sort it out. Had I realized that when I started with the Smashwords, I would have approached it differently to make sure I was on the same page, literally.
Yes.
So the PDF edition, which is the one I've got in front of me, and anyway, it's got the ISBN and everything, and it's all fully organized. And this you can just download as a PDF. It's an automatic download through eJunkie. I don't know if you've heard of them.
No, I haven't.
And you just stick your PayPal number in, and it's going for, it's $9.99 at the moment.
But,
and anyway, the book is, let me tell you.
Yes, what is the book
about? Never mind how it got there, because that itself is such a long, hairy story. And this book is called Introduction to Astrology. A beginner's course workbook includes questions and answers.
Wonderful.
So what this really means is that this is a book for someone who really doesn't know anything about astrology and is trying to get a grasp of the language and maybe how to read a chart.
Mm-hmm.
And it's separated into six main chapters. And the first is the signs, the planets, the houses, charts, talks about chart division, aspects, and then synthesis at the end. And after each chapter, like on the chapter on signs, when I go through all the 12 signs of the zodiac and I explain everything you need to know, really. At the end are questions. And there is a chart in here that you have to answer the questions to.
Test questions. Excellent.
Yes. That's why I say with Q&A. So you can actually learn the thing by yourself. And if I get to, if I can behind my, but let me get to the page because that's what I'm trying to say, and all my little asides about everything. You then have the questions on the signs. There's the chart, and there are specific questions. Which planets in the sign?
To test knowledge. That's excellent.
Is there an emphasis? So on polarity questions, and really, the idea of having it in the book, not only is the questions, but the answers are at the back.
That was going to be my next question. Excellent.
Yes.
So you can.
That's the thing, Q&A. So I'm saying to you, which mode is emphasized in this chart, and then the answers at the back.
No cheating now.
Well, no. And it really, it's a way, because when I first began to learn astrology, I was very much on my own, and a lot of it didn't make sense a lot of the time. Yeah. Whereas with this, this is what I'm trying to say. If the answer's seven, you can see why the answer's seven, and because the answer's there. So you're not saying, is that a full moon or is that a crescent moon?
Yeah.
The answers are here for you.
That's
and
great
it
idea.
Covers all the basic stuff you need to know. Clearly, there's a lot more background you can work with, but if you go through this book, you actually can actually read a chart at the end, albeit simply.
That's wonderful. That's a really great idea.
And if I'd had more time, I would have lent it to you 24 hours ago so you could have had a look through. And this has been my baby. And anyway, it goes on and on about the back, all the stuff. And at the you know, there's all the questions, synthesis, how to structure and chart synthesis, where to start, what to do. Much as the chart we did last week for
our producer, Roger.
But our producer, Roger, is showing you how to start doing interpretation.
Yeah, because it can be overwhelming just looking at the whole thing.
It
and
is.
It's just like it's all these symbols and what does it mean and what's important and what's not. And even if you have one of the great cookbooks that we've reviewed
several.
You've
got to read the whole thing, right?
Right. And how, you know, which things are most important of all those. I mean, there's all these paragraphs that if you get an electronic chart done somewhere, you know, any of the great sites that offer these things for free or for, you know, whatever, all of these paragraphs, you don't know what's important, what's, you know, what you should focus on.
Exactly.
Some of them are contradictory, so this is great.
That's right. So this overcomes that kind of problem. And it's really simple. The idea is that by the time you've read it and answered the questions, you actually can address chart synthesis quicker than you could if you had to read 10 books about it.
Oh, yeah.
This is based on the courses that I teach my actual students as an introduction to astrology for people who absolutely know nothing.
Excellent.
And I've got some little comments in, and I do my little stories about the elements and the garden and all that kind of thing. But anyway, so that's what I thought I would actually review my own book, just so that you know it's out there.
That's
and
wonderful. And starsology.com is where they can find it.
Yes, and I'll put the link on Access. And it's just there. Absolutely. You just click on the thing and you can either go PDF, as I say, if that's what you want, if you know what you're doing, or you can go and get it for your iPad.
Wonderful. And what's this you said about the elements in the garden? I have never heard this garden. Which garden is this? No. You're going to have to read us an excerpt.
Okay. Why not?
There's a thought. I'm curious about this garden that you talk about.
Allow me to read you a short story about the elements and the garden. Have you not heard this one before?
No.
Oh, Arwen. I wrote this, right? A short story about the elements in the garden. It all began when fire was out and about in the garden and, standing in a sunny spot, had an inspiration. Let's create a fabulous place and encourage all these birds which visit our garden to rest here, said Fire. I will design and make a shelter for the birds, said Earth, who went off to purchase building materials at the hardware store to make a sturdy home for their winged friends. We will call it Chateau Cardinal, decreed Air. I will inform everyone that I have named it so, as he dashed off to spread the word. Water arrived carrying a bag of bird seed and a water dish. I will care for these birds. I will provide food, clean water, and nurture them, said Water, eyeing up next door's cat. And there it is. And that's a short story about how the elements actually function.
Mm-hmm.
The fire. Oh, he's got the idea. Let's build a birdhouse. But he doesn't build it.
Right. He just orders everyone around.
Yes. Earth does that.
Yeah.
Air tells everyone and spreads the news and communicates the
runs
information.
Runs off, not helping either.
Labeling everybody. And then Water comes along with the food and to look after the birds.
Yeah.
And save them from the cat.
Right.
But it's a way of showing that if you have a strong element count in your chart, this is how you function.
Yeah. That's cool.
So there's my next question on my lips, but I won't go.
What?
What's your strong element count?
Oh, it's all Earth. It's mostly Earth. And some water. No, some air.
Okay, should we?
No water.
I tell you what, have another go.
I know. It's one water thing. Yeah.
So, excuse me. And so I only count up the 7 planets. The visible planets go in your count, nothing else. Mm-hmm. So that might shift the counts from what one is used to counting.
Yeah, definitely.
Because the planets are the energies in your chart, not the points.
Hmm. Yeah, it's still all earth and air. It's a tornado.
So with your, I'll have a look at your chart afterwards. We can got it at my fingertips, and maybe you've got it somewhere. And you can count up and see which mode or which function would you have done about these modes in the garden regarding the birdhouse.
I'm off to Home Depot.
You are, aren't you?
Oh my goodness!
So, and I've got another one, but I won't bore you with it about the modes at the movies.
We don't want to ruin it. We want people to buy it. But yeah. I maybe make you read that to me after.
So there's an excerpt there, and it's just, you know, I don't know. It's just me. It's my words. It's all my original work. And how I see astrology and how I've tried to teach people. Because my idea is that I don't want to be astrologers. I want to teach you how to fish, you know.
Yeah, totally.
Or should I say, I don't want to give you a fish. I would like to teach you how to fish. And why not? I believe this knowledge of astrology should be for anyone who's enlightened enough to want to know it.
Yeah.
But it is complicated. And people in the past have made it hugely complicated. And I'm trying to streamline it. That's really what this book's about.
Exactly.
So maybe I should have given you a copy anyway. So there you go.
Well, I'll have you read it to me one piece at a time.
Maybe I will. Maybe I will. Maybe we'll have...
Story time.
Story time at the end.
And you'll I'll just be sleeping at the end.
I know. <feet up. laughs> And they all lived happily ever after.
Exactly. The end. The bird lived. The kitty went off and found some fish to eat.
Yeah.
Well, the book that I'm going to be reviewing this week is Mystic Medusa's Sun Signs and Soul Mating. It is a gigantic...
It's humongous.
It is humongous, but it is actually 2 books in one, which is wonderful. And the epiphany of this book was that I ordered it from Amazon, believing that it was slightly different than what it was, but it turned out that it was a giant hardcover, 2 books in one, which made it perfect because I had one of the books that it is combining and one of them I didn't have and it's either out of print or very difficult to find. So this is 2 of her wonderful books in one, and this made it also so that I could give the paperback version of the one book that I already had to my mother, which she appreciated very much, and there was no need to tell that whole story, but there you go. This is how I got the book. And it's a great book. It is Mystic Medusa, and she has a website, and she's awesome, and she's just a delightful Australian astrologer. Her conversational tone is fabulous and hilarious. She's just so, her personality comes through in her writing so delightfully. And I just laugh out loud reading her books or her website or anything by her. She's just fantastically funny. And this basically goes through, it's kind of a love signs-ish sort of structure, but she'll go through all the signs, the cliches, as she calls them.
Sometimes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then the second half of it is based on a book about Eros and Psyche. So that is a whole different thing, which I have read, but I haven't read as much and, read to my friends out loud as much as I have the first half, which is based on...
Clearly, we've got to bring that in as a segment, definitely.
Oh, really?
Quote of the week.
Quote of the week, exactly.
Yes, yes.
The read out loud portion of the podcast. I will excel at that part.
So is this a book for beginners? You can just pick it up
totally.
And go with it?
Oh, okay. Totally. It's got celebrity quotes. It's got celebrity couples. It's got, you know, the good side of Aries, the bad side of Aries, you know, the kind of what to, you know, give them as gifts, how to manipulate them, Aries role models, and then all the signs, of course, but since we are in the Aries portion.
We're talking about Aries now, yes.
Yeah, and it's just so funny. And then all the combinations of Aries in relationships with whomever and back and forth.
Oh, really?
And then she gives examples of each of the couples. So if we're talking Aries and Leo, for example, Al and Tipper Gore, Debbie Reynolds and Eddie Fisher, Robin Wright Penn and Sean Penn. Interesting. Mm-hmm. Very interesting. A lot of these couples, of course, will have broken up by the time, you know. But that's also an interesting thing to note. Not that it means anything for, you know, anyone who might be out there hoping that Leo and Aries is the perfect couple. But, you know, it's just a really good book. And it's fun. Fun to read.
Recommended. What was the title again?
It's called Sun Signs and Soul Mating.
Very good.
Yes. Mystic Medusa. And we will link to that also. also in our show notes.
We will.
Yes. So what else? Join us on the 13th in Fraser.
Oh, absolutely. Everybody, do come and hear Arwen speak.
Yes.
On her topic.
Dynamic transits and the generations.
That's fantastic. So it's going to affect everyone. It's going to be, people will understand.
Yes. If you know
it's
what generation is.
Fun-filled evening.
Yeah, exactly. Baby boomers, Generation X, Generation Y, millennials, all this. Yeah. All explained.
And join us for dinner beforehand, because that'll be great fun as well.
Yeah, Stefano's in New Westminster.
Yes, yeah, so and we'll be taking some photos that evening that we can actually post on the website afterwards if you did miss it.
Indeed.
I'm not sure if we're taking video as well, but we did talk. Okay, we may have some video as well. We'll get a few snippets.
Yeah, maybe not immediately, but the presentation will be available on our website. Absolutely. Yeah.
Sounds great. So our email address is?
It's accessastrology@gmail.com.
Yes.
Our website is accessastrology.com. You can find us and follow us on Twitter at accessastrology.com. No, just at accessastrology. Oh, I always got one of them wrong.
Yes.
Access Astrology is produced and recorded by Roger Aaron Toews. I'm Arwen O'Neill.
And I'm Alison Price.
Thanks for joining us.
We'll see you next time.
See you next time.